Tonight on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Todd, great, good day to you. Beautiful. It's going to be sunny. We had some rain this morning, a bit blustery if you're going out to play a round of golf. And you can. It's 48 degrees at Volcano Golf Course. I love saying that. It just blows people away. There's an opening at 10:12, 10:36, and 11:06. And at Makalei, there's a 9:24 and a 10:20. And Kolepahui, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Have a great round of golf. Kapolei, the twilight only time is available. And what do we have? The Cats group going out at Makena. Could that be, my friends, the Cats?
The Cats? There's an 8:40, a 9:36, and a 10:40 if you'd like to play around. Turtle Bay is offering, on the Fazio course, walking. You can walk weekday mornings, $25. And they're going to continue there after 3 o'clock everyday special for walkers. And that doesn't mean you have to have a walker. That means you're walking the course, and by the way, it is very short between the green and tee, so there's not like a long journey. That's really, really good. That's the Fazio course at Turtle Bay. Good walking course. Thank our sponsors, Alakai Mechanical, the best mind in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal, and commercial kitchen design and fabrication. Yes, they'll design it and they'll make it. Work and products. You can depend on Alakai Mechanical 24/7. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai South Shore Gems, and there's a Father's Day special, the sale in the Pro Shop, Sunday to Saturday, 30% off Tommy Bahama Resort Wear, plus Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Greg Norman, Cutter & Buck, Peter Millar, and more. And that's Adidas. It's a German company. I like to say Adidas. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home or your business. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection. What you need in Hawaii, and they're also in California. And Moon Physical Therapy. They achieve results whether you're recovering from an accident in an automobile or possibly something that happened on the golf course. That's Moon Physical Therapy, right across from Sports Authority. First guest up this morning is Edward Tischler, E.A. Tischler, New Horizon Golf. And this guy has, it's not fair, okay? I just want to start right from the gate. He's got 6 hole-in-ones and a double eagle on his record. It's not fair. He set over 15 course records in his career. Voted one of Hawaii's top teachers in Golf Digest magazine. Thought of by many as the pro's pro. And he coaches many professionals that is locally and abroad. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Thank you. Aloha, Danielle.
Aloha. You've got at Ko'olina, a little place where you're an independent contractor, New Horizon Golf is your teaching, the name of your academy.
Yeah, I call it my New Horizons Golf Approach. It's a teaching approach, the system that I use for coaching golfers of all different levels.
I thought it was very interesting because when I was watching, I watched one of your, you tried out for Golf Channel. Congratulations.
I did, yeah.
Called Inviting Yourself to the Party. A friend of mine wrote a book. Invite yourself to the party.
Well, you got to whenever you can, right?
It's right. Otherwise, nobody, if you don't put it out there, who's going to know it? So, here we go. I was watching you. The first thing you went is into the swing saying. And I went, oh, that makes so much sense. Thank you so much. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, certainly. I got started on it when I was in college. My inner game coach, his name is Fred Shoemaker. And he would have me swing to the top of the backswing, and when I got there, he would say something like draw, and I would have to react and play a draw. On the next one, he would say fade, and then maybe high and low, and he'd just throw stuff at me, and I had to react. and I got pretty good at it, and I thought to myself, well, heck, if he can say it to me and I can react and do it, then why not just say something to myself and do it? And so I believe that in the basic short game shot, you're just tossing a ball around with your hand. Yeah, I'd seen Greg Norman actually do it with his hand around greens, and then he applied it with a golf club, and Tom Watson talked about the same thing. So I just started to say toss, toss to myself, and I noticed, wow, it worked. And when I was closer to the hole and I wanted to hole it, I would say toss hole. And, you know, then I noticed that they kind of came in different sizes. There was small toss, mid toss, large toss, and wow, there was a pattern there. So anything up to about 35 yards, I would just have some sort of a tossing thing. And then I thought to myself, well, hey, what's bigger than toss? And, well, swing is. So I said, okay, let's say swing, swing. And sure enough, it worked. Now, it was bigger than tossing, but again, there's a definite pattern. My swing swings went anywhere from 70 yards to 105 yards. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting, because the tosses go from 0 to 35, and the swing swings go from 70 to 105. There's something right in the middle. And I said, well, what the heck is that? And what came to mind to me, and I had no idea what would work, was swing toss. And so I said it, and sure enough, it showed up. And that pattern was there. And what I found out over the years is that everybody has a pattern, and we have to find out what words work for them, because our language, even though we all think we speak the same language, meaning is different to us. And so everybody has a pattern, and there it might be, you know, 20 yards for the shorter ones and 20 to 40 for the next, and then 40 to 60 for the next, or, you know, 25, 50, 75, but we all have a pattern. And then, of course, since it worked in the short game, I applied it to the long game, just having people say things like swing finish, or, you know, turn, turn, finish, you know, swing back, swing finish. And so, you know, what it does is it helps you get out of your conscious mind into your subconscious mind. It's a rhythmic key, and it just helps you, you know, get your rhythm and timing down, and it takes the thoughts out of the game.
Absolutely. A couple of things come to mind. When your coach was telling you to, as you were swinging, draw, that was like reacting to a baseball coming at you.
That's exactly right.
And so you were at that moment when he gave you a command, you weren't able to think about what it was you were doing with your club.
That's exactly right.
Right? And so now what you're doing with the words, and what you said about words is so important. So many times people will use a word, and the definition for one person is completely different than the definition for another person.
That's exactly right.
Defining words with one another is the most important communication skills.
Yeah. You know, and one of the books I just finished writing, because I'm doing a series on biomechanics, and, you know, I've sort of created a language that can be used by instructors with many different systems. So I had to create these words that wouldn't conflict with other people, but I had to have a glossary of terms in the back of the book, and it's, you know, like 14 pages of terms to define, so when people are reading it, they can be very clear what I mean by the terms that I'm using. And, you know, because it's so easy to, especially in golf, things get overlapped. And, you know, what one person calls a swing, another person calls a throwing action. And, you know, we need to define these things so we really know what we're talking about. You know, and your point with the reaction is very key. I actually believe golf's a reaction sport. People always say that golf's not a reaction sport because the ball isn't moving. But really, if you think of other sports like tennis, you react to the height of the net. You react to what lines you have to play within. When you're serving, you got the small box. When you're playing singles, you got the narrower lines that you play between. When you're doubles, you got the wider lines. You know, what's the situation? Is it first serve or second serve? You know, there's all these things that you react to that are within the rules of the game and the structure of the game. And we just think that just because the ball is moving, that's what we react to. But we actually react more to the situation. And in golf, we have to understand that situation, and then we have to create the impulse that we're then going to react to, like the ball moving. And a swing thing allows you to do that and be very reactive instead of having to think your way through the swing.
Excellent. We're going to talk with you a bit about what it was like getting Dean Wilson to play with Annika Sorenstam. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. My name is
sure.
Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24-7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Important, before we continue, I want to congratulate Mary B. Porter King. She won the Distinguished Service Award, and she received that from the Metropolitan Golf Writers Association at their 60th National Awards Dinner Tuesday night. Great. She certainly deserves it. All right. We're talking right now with Ed Tischler, and Ed is teaching at Ko'olina. He is an independent contractor, New Horizons Golf Approach Teaching System, recognized by the PGA of America. He is the founder. He's also co-hosted Hawaii's first golf talk radio, Beyond Fairways and Greens. Now, what happened to that?
Oh, well, as you know, we weren't getting paid for it, as you're not, and it was just a ton of work. I had started a new golf school, you know, in Hawaii back then as well. Ed Kagiyama and Rick Hamada, the three of us, actually did the show. This was back in the early 90s, right after I moved to Hawaii. So I forget how many episodes we did. I have the original tape somewhere. But it was a lot of fun. It was just, prepping for the show. You know, as you know, it takes a lot of time to prep for the show. And between his duties, he was at the time, I think he was still the head professional at Hawaii Prince Golf Club as well. So, you know, he had all his duties, and then I was training five different golf coaches at the time to get my school off the ground as well. So it just became, more than we were willing
to put time into. Willing to sacrifice. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've been doing this for 14 years now, so I totally understand. I'm actually putting together a best-of show because I'm taking a Saturday off. Yes.
Wow. You're taking a Saturday off to do a best-of show.
I'm taking a Saturday off, but I'm going to have a best-of show prepared so that the show will be on the air while taking the Saturday off. You assisted Dean Wilson. He played with Annika Sorenstam, of course, at the Colonial. Everybody talks about Annika Sorenstam and playing in the Colonial. The guy who probably gets very little credit for having had all that attention is Dean Wilson.
Well, actually, Dean gets a lot more attention than the third player in the group, who I've even forgotten who it was, to tell you the truth. And, but actually, that really helped Dean a lot in the sense that he got a lot more recognition playing with her. They were both on Callaway at the time, staff, and so Dean had actually met her a few times. So, you know, they already had, some sort of a professional relationship going on where they had seen each other at the factory or a different location. So it was, it was sort of a comfortable situation for the both of them as well. And, he got a lot of press, they were seen together on during the rounds, and so it was really a great thing for him.
Okay, how did you help Dean?
Well, I was the director of instruction up at Ko'olau Golf Club when I first met him, and, we had ended up playing some rounds of golf together, and a lot of people had mentioned me as a coach to him. And what he had actually said to me, he says, "Yeah, I heard you were a good coach, but until I played with you and I saw the type of ball striker you were, I wasn't convinced." And so, you know, he just, he liked me, my playing abilities and my ball striking abilities, and we just started talking golf. And the more we talked about it, he wanted me to coach him. So I coached him for about 3.5 to 4 years. He won at least 5 tournaments a year during that time. I think he won about 20 tournaments, actually. He'd won a ton here in Hawaii, some tournaments up in Alaska, the Provo Open, 3 tournaments in Japan. So what I did is I helped him, you know, understand more about how his body works. And a lot of what I do is I do training with your biomechanical pattern and also with your physiology. And so what we look at is there are certain attributes in your body. Your body's a machine. And as far as the golfing machine's concerned, and I don't mean that in Homer Kelly's term, I mean that just, you know, your swing machine is designed to work in a certain way.
I think you're understanding your biomechanics.
Yes, understanding your biomechanics. And so what you want to do is understand how your body's built to make a golf swing. And so, for example, every feature that I talk about biomechanically has 3 options. If you look at how your hips, you know, rotate and where your balance point is in your hip girdle, it can be more left of the center line of your body, right of the center line of your body, or on the center line. And what that means is you're going to rotate more around your left hip joint, your right hip joint, or your center of gravity. And so, you know, I call it front anchor, rear anchor, and center anchor. And many years ago, people argued with me on it, and now you see the systems like Stack and Tilt. They're front anchor systems, and there are a variety of front anchor systems out there. So a lot of people, when they see somebody loading on the front side or stacking on the front side, they actually call, they say, oh, you're Stack and Tilter, and that's not necessarily the case. As a matter of fact, Stan Souza's son, Chris Souza, gets irritated with people telling them that because I've been working with him since he was 10 years old, and, you know, he's been a front anchor golfer ever since then. And you know, all of a sudden, Stack and Tilt came along, and they say, well, you're Stack and Tilter. And he's like, look, I'm a front anchor golfer. It's different.
It is, but, because you've got the rear anchor and the center anchor. And what's important is figuring out which one is best for you. You have a very simple way of determining that. Why don't you go through it?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, all you do is, you know, you play shots, for example, with your feet all the way together. And you just play, you know, a series of shots, 5 or 10 of them, and you rate on a scale from 1 to 10 the consistency of your contact, your balance, the ball flight, and then you switch and you stand on your right foot only. You kick your left foot back. You use the toes of your left foot for balance, but, you know, the majority of your weight there is on your right foot, and you're trying to stay on your right foot. And again, you play a series of shots. And then when you're done with those, you stand on your left foot only. You kick your right foot back and use the toes of your right foot for balance. What ends up happening as you're doing this, and you can have a friend watch you as well as just rating your performance, is that your head is heavy and it wants to counterbalance the action. And when you move to one leg or your feet together, which is like a single post type system, your head wants to move over your balance point. So if you're swinging and you're on the correct balance point, your head's going to stay right there. If you're isolating the balance point that fails to fit you, then your head's going to move and it's going to throw you off balance during your swing. And so it's very easy to test for us to see, you know, where your balance point is. And I'll often do like a plumb bob on somebody's head, or when I'm videoing, we mark something in the background so they can see whether their head really stays there or whether it's moving around a lot. And so, of course, once you go to your normal stance, you know, you're in what I call a pedestal stance. You're not in a one post stance anymore. So there are some adjustments you need to make to understand how that affects your pivot. But the whole key is understanding that if you're a front anchor golfer, your balance point is going to be front of the center line, which is going to put you more into your front foot. If you're a rear anchor golfer, it's going to put you more into your rear foot. And if you're a center anchor golfer, you're going to be more 50-50. And in all cases, your head's going to counterbalance that activity.
I was watching, are you a front anchor golfer?
I'm actually... So it all happens on a continuum. So there's what we call full front anchor, mid front anchor, you know, left of center, center left, and I'm actually a center left golfer. So yeah, the interesting thing is it's either 91 or 92 at the Queen Mary Open. I was on the driving range and Mac O'Grady came up, and his caddy was late and he got to the range early and he went to sit down on this bench behind me and watch me train for a while. And when he went to sit down, my wife at the time tried to stop him, and it was too late. He sat down, he got his pants all wet. Well, she gave him a towel so he could dry off before the caddy got there. So he just sat there and he watched me train for a half hour or so, and his caddy showed up. and we ended up playing back-to-back in the first two rounds of the tournament. And after the second day, we're going out to the parking lot, and he literally ran out there and stopped us, and he said, "Hey, I watched you play, you know, every shot in the first two rounds of the tournament, and I want to talk to you." And so he actually did most of the talking, but at one point he asked me about my swing, a question. I said, "Well, I believe that there's, you know, three different, you know, balance points in the swing, and, you know, Ben Hogan rotated around his front side, Sam Snead rotated around center of gravity, and as you know, a lot of people go to the right side." And so I introduced him actually to the swing anchor concept, and it turned out he went away from that, and he developed a front anchor Hogan model, a center anchor Sam Snead model, and actually he had the center anchor Sam Snead model already, because that's what he was doing at the time, and then he did a rear anchor Lee Trevino model. And over the years, he became more enamored with the front anchor model, and then the stack and tilt guys, when they were keeping the stats for him, they, you know, they had discussions with him about front anchor, and then they came up with their own model. So it kind of went in different directions. But, you know, that's sort of how that whole process got started.
I love what Mike Adams wrote about you in Golf Magazine.
Yeah, that was a great quote that he had for us.
E.A. Tischler is one of the brightest minds in golf. He is a fantastic teacher, and his book, Secrets of Owning Your Swing, is genius. First there was The Golfing Machine, then The Laws of the Golf Swing, then The Plain Truth for Golfers, and now you have Secrets of Owning Your Swing. This book complements the others and moves full swing instruction forward. It's a must-read for any serious golfer. What I like about the title is Secrets of Owning Your Swing. It's not Secrets of the Swing or Secrets of How to Make Yourself Lose, you know, 30 in 5 easy minutes.
Exactly.
It takes your swing and helps you understand what you are about.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Need a good plumber 24/7? Alakai Mechanical has the best, from design to installation to maintenance. If you need more than a quick fix, get it repaired by the team at Alakai Mechanical. Whether you're in a home, restaurant, office building, or shopping center, your plumbing has to work. Alakai's world-class plumbing technicians use quality parts to keep your water and sewer lines working properly. Protect your investment. Licensed and insured. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. Your plumbers on call.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. Joining us, we're going to keep Ed with us. Ed Tischler, New Horizons Golf Approach. He's right at Ko'olina, and we're going to tell you how you can go take lessons. But before we do that, I'd like to welcome to the clubhouse a gentleman who I've got to have you on for a lengthy segment, sir, Marius Filmalter. He's willing to talk about the yip. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. You and a number of other people have written a terrific book, the best putting instruction book ever. That's saying a lot, sir.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment. I don't know always whether I really deserve it, but thank you.
No, I think you do. I was fascinated by some of the things that you talk about dealing with the yip and working with people who are having those kinds of problems. But also, when you said, you know, putting, I've been focusing on putting this month. And I will until the end of the month, and then next month we'll do some focus on drivers for show. But we're putting for dough, and
what you said about putting, do you see a guy after he hits a great drive just, you know, really pump his fists and get really excited right there on the tee? No. The excitement happens. You see the guys pumping, going to their knees in time, at times, sometimes crying, when they sink the perfect putt, the putt they needed to get it in the hole. And when you said that, I went, yeah, this man understands.
Yeah, I think putting is a little bit more emotional, I must admit.
Yes.
Yeah, you see, the thing is with putting is, if you look at, you know, the typical professional golfer, they hit more greens than they miss greens. And they hit more fairways than they miss fairways. But they actually miss more putts than they make putts.
Yeah, they yeah, they do. I do. But what you analyze 54,000 professional and amateur strokes.
Correct.
And then you put together something, a groundbreaking presentation. It was in 2004 at the European PGA Expo in Munich. And everybody went, wow, tell us what it was that was the wow factor.
Well, the first thing is we realized, let me start at the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, we started measuring putting strokes, but we didn't know what a putting stroke looked like. So what I had to do was go on the European PGA Tour and ask really good putters to putt on the machine so that we could have a good sample of good putts so that we at least say, okay, you know what, a good putting stroke looks like this. And then I could measure the yippers and I could then differentiate the two and say, okay, you know what, because you have these characteristics, that classifies you as a yipper. If you have these characteristics, you're a good putter. So, you know, very quickly I saw that there's a difference between even the good putters on tour and the bad putters on tour. And obviously a huge difference between a yipper and you know, a normal putting stroke. And once we identified, you know, the whole thing is to identify, quantify, and then you can sort of trying to find out how you can, if possible, cure the thing. We've been successful in certain cases. We've been also unsuccessful, unfortunately. It's not always so easy to cure the yips. It's probably a good strategy to first, you know, work around the yips. And if you then, in the process of doing that, cure it, that's a bonus.
I followed the Mayo Clinic investigation into the cause of the yips.
Yep.
They focused on golf, which you must be very familiar with that.
Yes.
Yes. And, because it happens with, you know, with a small motor, the muscles, and the skills that require for a surgeon. The surgeon can get the yips. My God, what a horrible thought. You know, the guy is operating on me, and he gets
Yes, we actually found that the dentists and surgeons, they have a high percentage of them have the yips, but they found ways of overcoming the yips. They might hold the scalpel different, or the drill machine a little bit different in their hands, and they actually found ways to overcome the yips. But the main characteristic that we found with the yippers is that there's basically two types of yips. The one is what I call an accelerational yipper. So in other words, he cannot control the acceleration or speed of the club through impact. And then you have the other category as a directional yipper, which obviously refers to the club head. The golfer cannot control the rotation of the club head through impact.
Who can correct that?
Yeah, and the amazing thing is this, that, you know, studying the good putters, we actually found that they hit the putt, they make contact with the ball after they've hit top speed with their putter head. So in other words, they strike the ball after reaching top speed. And if you look at that, you say, okay, At top speed, if a car travels at top speed, whatever that speed is, whether it's 50 or 70 or 90 miles an hour, the moment you maintain speed or you keep it at top speed, there's no acceleration and no deceleration. And that is probably one of the wow factors that we discovered with Good Putter.
You worked with BJ Singh, Ernie Els, Tiger Woods, Marco Mira, Mike Weir, Trevor Immelman, White Yang, Hunter Mann, Stuart Appleby, Brad Faxon, Ryan Palmer, Bo Van Pelt, Graham Dillett. Now, I've got to ask you, because you've worked with Tiger Woods, do you mind talking about his putting right now?
No, not at all. I mean, he's probably probably one of the best golfers I've ever measured. I mean, his consistency is something phenomenal. He's got absolutely no, he keeps, you know, constant speed, approximately 50 or 60 milliseconds before impact. He's already reached top speed with his putter head. He's got amazing speed control. So he's really a gifted athlete, no question about that.
And what's going on with his putter now?
You know, I haven't worked with him, you know, for the last 3-odd years. Maybe that's the reason. Joke.
oh, take it.
you know, we all have bad habits. And the problem is, if you don't work at it, your golf swing or your putting stroke does not improve by itself. In fact, the opposite is true. It deteriorates. And he's got bad habits, and he's probably just fallen back into those old bad habits. And that is maybe one reason why he's not making as many putts as he should. And there's probably a psychological component connected to that as well.
Yeah, I see so much hesitation. And it just amazes me, because there was such focus in him before, and that focus, that there's at moments of impact, it seems he's just, he almost has mental gifts, like, am I doing this right? And it's a strange feeling to watch that. I can't even watch him putt anymore. I'm glad he's not going to be in the open. I mean, I'm glad he's not going to be in the open for a number of reasons. You have to be healthy, you know. What do we want him to do? Be a cripple for the rest of his life because he pushes himself ridiculously hard? But we're getting away from putting, Danielle. Okay, let's get back. You have a 3-DVD set that is available. Can people, if they've got the problems with the yip, with whichever type, can this DVD set help?
Most definitely. I think that, you know, once I concentrate in my research not on the medical reasons why the yips occur. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I have nothing to do with that. There's plenty of causes of the yips, and certainly one is bad technique, and that is what I devote my studying and my research is devoted to, the technique. And I think if you have a good, solid technique, then you have a very good chance of never getting the yips. In fact, when I started researching the yips, the one professor said to me, don't be surprised if you get the yips. I've never even had an idea of getting the yips because my technique is pretty good. You know,
but you know, some people say don't talk about the yips because it's catching.
Yeah, and with me, it's not catching. So you know, we've proven that one wrong. But okay. I think if you've got good, solid technique that you can rely on, that's one thing. But another thing that I find that a lot of golfers, when I talk to them, and I measure their putting stroke, and I ask them, you know, what do you think you're doing? And then what they think they do and they actually do is so far apart that I think that is definitely causing some hesitation somewhere.
Yes.
I don't think the brain can bridge those two ideas in the time it takes you to make a putting stroke.
So do you recommend people, after watching your DVD, buying this book, the best putting book, the best putting instruction book ever, then maybe having, you know, that they have that camera, I've had that done for me. It takes a zillion shots of you, frames as you putt, and then you can see what your putter head is doing as it travels.
Correct.
Do you suggest that, having someone do that for you?
Yes, I certainly do. I think, you know, figure out your technique. And if you cannot figure it out, get to a place where you can have your putting stroke measured. And worst comes to worst, if people send that information to my website, I mean, I have such a passion and compassion for the yippers. I will always have a look at their putting strokes if they send it to me.
Wow, what's your website?
Well, it's just very simple, Marius Golf, Marius, M-A-R-I-U-S, golf.com. And if they send it there, I'll definitely get it, and I'll have a look at those strokes. And there's always a way around it. If you cannot beat it, there's a way around it. And I've seen hundreds of guys that wanted to give up the game, give them hope again, and, you know, give them confidence that they can actually make putts.
I think there's somebody crying right now. there's a young gentleman on the phone right now, Ed Tischler. He has New Horizons Golf Approach. He started with me on the show. Do you have a question, Ed, that you'd like to ask?
Well, I've got an observation, and I'd like to see what Marius' take on it is. I've actually worked with some people, obviously, that have the yips as well, and I've noticed the two patterns myself. For the guys that tend to be the accelerators or over-accelerators, I get them set up and I just have them push the ball without a backstroke. And I had this one guy who was trying to get on the senior tour, and I said, hey, how far could you get away from the hole and guarantee me you're going to make 100 putts in a row? And he said, Ed, if we put the ball on the lip and I have to make a backstroke, I just might whip it. And I said, well, that's fine. I'm going to just have you push it in the hole. So we put it on the lip, and he pushed it and pushed it. And eventually he got to the point where he was making 300 in a row from, you know, 3 feet out. Now, this guy before that, from 50 feet, he could lag it up there to 6 inches all day long. But anything inside a foot, he felt like he was going to whip it. And so, you know, for those players, I had them just use the pushing stroke. Now, when you push it to keep the ball centered on the face, you've got to keep it square, you've got to go down the line, and you can't over-accelerate, otherwise, you know, it kind of bobbles off the club face. For the guys that, you know, need to catch that top speed before it reaches the ball, I have this little hoop that we put in front of the ball, and I put hockey tape around it, you know, so it doesn't scratch up your club. And different golfers, we have a different distance in front of the ball, but what they do is they have to dump all the energy, you know, before and on the ball, so by the time the club gets to the hoop, it just sort of taps the hoop without it knocking that hoop over. We actually stick it in the green. So I've had great success with the two different types of yippers, giving them, you know, the different methods, where the one guy learns to dump all the energy, and so he's not holding it tight and tensing, and the mind, you know, isn't getting away. It gives them something, a plan, something constructive to do also, so that they know that their stroke is improving in both cases.
That's very good. Very good.
You like that. Because you said in one of your putting tips is lighten up the grip pressure just a touch, but probably more important, keep it consistent to the stroke.
Yes, I think that, you know, the typical yipper always changes grip pressure during the stroke, especially, you know, from about 200 milliseconds before impact until about sometimes even 300 milliseconds after impact. You see there's a tremendous change in grip pressure. So that is something that the change in grip pressure, if you take a pen and you write a little note, for instance, and you change your grip pressure on the pencil while you're writing, it actually makes the movement very, very complicated.
Yeah, so, and a lot of that is is in the grip, just the way they undertake their grip, yeah?
Yeah.
I have to introduce Andrew a gentleman who is Dave Andrews is with us as well. And Dave?
Yes.
I want to give you a chance to ask a question because I know you have a question.
Boy, I was listening closely to the grip pressure. I was just playing this morning myself, and I noticed that in my own putting style. I could feel my hands tightening up as I was coming through the ball, and I seemed to pull those putts. That probably is part of it, I would imagine.
Correct. And the other thing with the changing grip pressure, it obviously takes away feel, and taking away the feel obviously has a negative influence on the stroke, and then you don't get any real feedback, and you only improve through feedback.
Well, one of the great feedback things you can do in that is, as you're making your stroke, just say, ah, you'll find out that if you tense up or you change your grip pressure, it's going to sound like ah, even in putting. And so you get instant feedback doing that.
Ed, thanks so much. You know, Marius, I would love to have you on the show, and so we can just talk about this after I've seen your DVD and read your portion of the book. Would you come back and join us again?
You're more than welcome. Thank you very, very much
Thank
for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show. This is a great dad's day, anybody's day, a birthday present, an anniversary present, something for the golfer who is looking for a way to get the ball in the hole. It's called the Best Putting Instruction Book Ever. And if you'd like to get the DVD set, that one is, let's see, I don't know if I have the 10 characteristics of a great putter. 10 characteristics of a great putter. I will also post MariusGolf.com on my Facebook pages for you so that you can find him. And if you have a video you'd like to send him, the very compassionate man. Ed, stay tuned. Dave, stay tuned. Marius, thank you so much for joining us in the clubhouse.
Thank you very much, and have a good day.
You too. Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. E.A. Tischler, he has a great school called New Horizons, and it's right now at Ko'olina, and I would like you to tell us, Ed Tischler,
how we can take your lesson.
Yeah, certainly. You can you can visit my website, www.newhorizonsgolf.com. It has all the contact information there. There's a web page that covers the types of golf schools that I offer, private lessons as well. I also give private lessons at Bayview on Oahu, and when I'm in California, which is periodically these days, I'm giving lessons at a place called Pin High Golf Center. The golf schools at Coalina, basically, they're three-hour schools, and there's a variety of different ones, ones that handle the biomechanics. Some on the fundamentals. I do putting. I have a short game series I call 454 Golf System. And so I have a whole series on the short game. There's swing technique ones for impact dynamic schools and what I call power stacking. So there's a whole variety of them. And like I said, they're 3 hours long. They're generally from 9 a.m. to noon in the morning and from 1 to 4 in the afternoon.
Great.
You want to go to a scheduled school. And you can actually put any two schools together that you want, make a full-day school, and you can request a school at a different time than I have scheduled as well.
You'll have to become a regular. You have lots to tell us.
Sure.
So you'll be back on the show.
Oh, I'd love to come back anytime.
Okay, great. All right, excellent. And do you, Dave, have any questions you would like to ask since you have an instructor right here? You just played around. Is there something that, anything that you want to know? Getting out of the rough. Did you have a question with today?
Oh, yeah, tempo. I'll tell you, trying to keep the same tempo in every swing is the biggest problem I have, and I get fast all the time, and I start pulling it, hooking it, and I don't know. There's one thing he would say about trying to maintain a smooth tempo in your swing would be interesting for me to hear about.
Oh,
yeah, certainly. I mean, tempo is actually what I call it, it's part of rhythm. So rhythm is the fluidity and the pace of the swing, and it's really critical for coordinating our eye-hand coordination, because when the brain sends the signal to the body, it goes through your nervous system, and that information travels in a rhythmic frequency. It's actually the language of your internal body. So you have to know your natural rhythm, and you have to swing in it. So some of the things we do to help golfers do that are, earlier we talked about using a swing saying, and if you can find a swing saying that reminds you of, you know, what you want to do, you know, swing smooth, swing finish, you know, smooth swing, smooth finish, something like that. Say it as you're swinging, then you're going to be more of a, it's going to be like a song and dance. You're going to say it and you're going to react. Another great drill is the drill I mentioned for the tension in the putting. And it sounds funny, and people are adverse to it at times because it sounds funny, but if you swing and you say, throughout your swing, when you can swing in a way where you can keep that ah constant, you're going to have your rhythm. And it'll be your natural rhythm as well. So, you know, those are two of the key ways of doing it. One last way, for the people that seem to have good rhythm in the backswing and then they have trouble with it in the forward swing, is we have them actually go up to the top, pause, count 1, 2, 3, and then swing. And they'll do a couple of rehearsal swings like that, and then they go ahead and play their shot. And a lot of golfers find that that really helps them out as well.
Wonderful.
And
wonderful.
It really is. Now, this a friend of mine sent me a Facebook message saying that an instructor found that Freddie Couples, saying Freddie Couples, Freddie Couples,
sure,
was perfect for his tempo. And not only does he like Freddie Couples, but the you know, it worked in his tempo, Freddie Couples. I don't know if it would work for mine.
But it's amazing. It's amazing what works. I had one lady say Cindy Crawford, and I said, well, why do you say that? And she says, well, number one, she's really graceful, and I can't say it too fast. And I said, that's great. And another lady actually said jelly donut. And I said, well, that's interesting. And it worked for both of them. So I asked, you know, why do you say it? And she said, well, you know that hot, oozy jelly off of fresh jelly donut? It can't move too fast. And it worked.
Ed Tischler, I'm looking forward to having you on the show again. You're over at Coalina. And the best way to get in touch with you is through newhorizonsgolf.com.
That's correct. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the show. Aloha.
Take care.
Okay. Pops and Sunshine is with us. Yes, the story of love and loss and dreams and determination. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, and it's now available at Kindle.
Yes. Yeah, it's an e-book now on Kindle. And still getting a lot of great reaction to it, great response. And as you know, Daniel, I've written a screenplay too, and I'm still pushing that out in Hollywood. So one of these days, maybe we can get a Hollywood film made about the women's professional golf game, which would, nothing would make me happier than that, because, you know, I'm a big fan of the LPGA Futures Tour and the LPGA, of course, and, you know, I'd love to promote them as much as I can, so that's what the book and the screenplay are about.
I've got to tell you that Dream On, you know, I'm sure you've been following John Richardson and
everybody. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, because he wrote his book, and From Hacker to Hollywood is basically what's happening for him. But later this week, they're hoping to have the main lead role finalized.
Oh, wonderful.
And they expect to start shooting in August for a release next summer. What I want you to know, though, is that it's not easy, even though, you know, I mean, he's going to London to talk with investors in London. So it's, you know, even though you have someone backing you, which he does, and he's got a lot of interest, he's got the production company ready to go, the money issue, especially in today's climate, is tremendous.
And it comes down to the money factor, that's for sure.
And your book is a great book. It's a great book. It's a great story. It has all the components that a good story should have. It really makes you feel like you're playing in the Futures Tour. And it gave me a completely new understanding. You know, it's like I was just looking at Mary B. Porter King, you know, her, the work that she does with youngsters. We see so many going on. Ayaka Kaneko, Brittany Choi, and Sarah Tsuyasuga, are all on the Futures Tour playing right now in the Tiva Championship.
Oh, I know. Yeah, they're out in Cincinnati this weekend struggling through some major thunderstorms and showers. They've had a real tough, four thunder lightning delays yesterday, and they just finished the first round this morning, and they're starting up the second round this afternoon, so they're behind schedule, but they seem to jam in 54 holes by Sunday afternoon, so hopefully they'll get it all in this weekend.
Who are you watching? Who do you think
has
the most promise?
Well, you know, I'm really nice to see that Lisa Ferrero, who I've known for about 7 years, this is her seventh year on the Futures Tour, and she won the fourth event of the season down in San Antonio, Texas. It was her first victory in 7 years on the Futures Tour. We talk about perseverance.
Yeah.
But right now, she's the leader today after the first round of the event in Cincinnati. She's 5 under par, so she's really gotten her game into good form, and if she could pull out a victory this week, she's got an excellent chance, of course, of finishing in the top five at the end of the season to earn her full LPGA status. So I'll be rooting for her very closely. She's a great girl. She's from California, went to the University of Texas, and has really put in her dues for 7 years on the LPGA Futures Tour. That's a long time to try to get your full status on the LPGA, so I'll be rooting for her this week, of course.
Yes, and Lahua Wise from Kauai was on the Futures Tour, I think, 2 or 3 years. She's decided to become an LPGA teaching professional for the time being as she hones her game, gets everything back together again, because she's not done with professional golf, but she realized she needed to take a break. Do you talk to girls who come to that moment where they, you know, they see that they need to do something to push it all the way through?
Well, I've talked to many who have eventually, you know how competitive it is, and probably 5% of the players that play on the LPGA Futures Tour, you know, eventually get their LPGA status. So it's, you know, 5 out of 100 girls, 95 of them at some point or another have to realize they just don't have what it takes to make it to the LPGA, and they eventually have to, you know, give it up and get a real job, as they say. But and many of them go on to teaching pro positions at courses around the country. But I've seen so many of them try, and they're just there. You know, they're just a shot or two around away from being at the peak level, the top level where they could compete on the LPGA. But it's a very fine line, and and it separates the, you know, the cream rises to the top, and that's what it's all about in professional golf, I guess. You know, only the strong survive, and only the very best can move on and play at the highest level. So it's a very competitive thing.
Have you, you've caddied for many.
Yeah.
Question I can answer you. And what do you see? What do you see as when you see someone who seems to have it?
Well, I'll tell you, the ones that have it are great ball strikers. I mean, they have the most perfect swings. They don't miss hit shots, and they're solid, and they're long, and they're straight 99% of the time. They're always giving themselves great opportunities. They're hitting their, you know, great share of greens, and they're giving themselves great opportunities to make birdies. And in professional golf, as we all know, birdies is what it's all about. And you have to have, you have to be hitting greens, and then you have to be a great putter. You have to make those putts when you have the opportunity to shoot under par rounds. And the ones that don't seem to make it, I mean, they can go out and shoot a 69 one day, but the next day they can go out and shoot a 79. And you just can't do that in professional golf. You have to be consistently around par. You know, 74 has to be a bad, bad day for you if you're going to make it to the LPGA. And you have to be able to shoot in the 60s probably, you know, three times out of 10 probably to have the opportunity, the chance to make it to the LPGA. So, and I don't know what makes the difference. The ones that have it, have it. The ones that don't, they're just missing it by a little bit. They're just not hitting all those shots the way they intend to, and they're giving themselves some problems. And, you know, like us average golfers, we struggle on every shot, but they seem to struggle on one or two shots around, which takes them out of contention for their, you know, to make it to the next level.
How much practice do you see them putting in?
The ones, I can tell you, over 7 years of watching the bills on the Futures Tour, the ones that are out there on the range the most, the ones that are on the putting green after they finish a round and go back out to the range after they finish a round, it seems to me those are the ones that eventually make it. You know, not all of them, but the ones that are willing to put in the hard work and the effort to practice away from the round are the ones that eventually are the ones that rise to the top. And there's no substitute for it, and, you know, that's what it takes, total dedication.
You know, absolutely. Ayaka Kaneko, she's from Japan, but she grew up and went to Sacred Heart Academy here and played at Wailea, she's playing privileges at Wailea Country Club. She's right at 19 on the money list. She moved up. Kathleen Eke, am I pronouncing her name right?
Yes, yeah, that's... She won the last event in Iowa. In fact, I was down in Florida this winter. I went to both of the Futures Tour events in Florida, and Kathleen, I followed her. She was playing with a girl, Hannah Yoon, who I know very well. I was following Hannah, and Kathleen happened to be playing with her for two rounds. And I was very impressed watching Kathleen. She's a long ball hitter, very solid, and I wasn't surprised. She's been playing very well this year. I think she's had three top 10 finishes, and she won last week. And right now she's number one on the money list on the LPGA Futures Tour. She has a great chance of getting her full LPGA status at the end of the season.
Is this her first or second year?
It's her third year.
Her third year.
Yeah, I think she played a partial season after graduating. She went to Alabama, University of Alabama. I think he played a partial season as a pro in 09, and then last year she played a full season, and this is their third season on the LPGA Futures Tour.
Okay. We're going to, I have questions, follow-up questions about, and what I want to ask you is, you know, how do you pay your way for 3, 4, 5, 6 years? On the LPGA Futures Tour. That's incredible. But first, let's ask the people who would like to play at Poipu Bay to give us a call. It's the South Shore Gem here on Kauai. So I want you to call. Now, I'm talking really slowly so that you can get a pencil and a piece of paper. And, you know, 808 is the area code. It's 808. 853-1563.
change the numbers on it. 853-1563. Okay, the 18th caller, 808-853-1563. 853-1563. Call now, and let's take care of this, too. It's 8 o'clock. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM 1 Princeville. It's also King Kamehameha Day. The parade begins downtown, and you can expect King Street to be closed as the parade moves from down by the King Kamehameha statue in front of Iolani Palace all the way down into Waikiki. It's a beautiful parade, a floral parade, absolutely gorgeous. I wish it was televised nationwide, but you can see it on K5 if you can't make it down there. We're talking with Dave Andrews. He is the author of Pops and Sunshine. I read it. It was one of those books that you just don't want to put down. I kept reading, and Pops and Sunshine. And a fantastic man, because he follows the Futures Tour like nobody I know. There are lots of people who follow the Nationwide Tour and the E-Golf Tour and all the different men's tours. And not a lot of guys who follow with as much conviction, that's not the right word, with just as much passion as you follow the Futures Tour. What made you so passionate?
Well, Daniel, as I told you before, it all started when they started playing one of their events 7 years ago at my course here in New Hampshire. And I volunteered for it. I'd never heard of the Futures Tour before then, but I volunteered and I watched these young women play, and I was just totally amazed by the level of talent that these women showed on the course. And it just captured my imagination, and I've followed them ever since. And I've gotten to know many of the girls personally. I've caddied for several of them over the years. And Mindy Kim, I'll tell you a funny story. Mindy Kim, who is now your second round leader in the LPG event, the State Farm Classic, out in Springfield, Illinois this weekend, she played here in Concord, and I had the chance to caddy in a group down in Connecticut about 3 years ago when she was still on the Futures Tour. And I was caddying for another player, but Mindy was in the group. And when I saw this young girl play, I think she was 18 or 19 years old at the time, and I think she might have won that event on the Futures Tour, if I remember correctly. But I said to myself, this girl is good for an 18 or 19-year-old girl. She's going to be a star on the LPGA one day. And sure enough, she's coming on. She's playing wonderful this year, and she's leading the State Farm Classic after the second round. I think she's 15 under par after two rounds, and they're playing the third round this afternoon.
13 under. She shot a 64 and a 67. My question to you is this. When I asked you earlier, what was it? Was it her ball striking? What was it that made you say she's going to be a star on the LPGA Tour?
Yeah, it was her ball striking. Her drives were all solid. She wasn't tremendously long. She's a tiny little thing. But she was about 250 right down the middle, as I remember, in every drive. But her approach shots to green, I mean, every shot was right at the pin. And she gave herself, she was just so accurate with her irons, her middle irons and her approach shots into green. I was saying, oh my gosh, this girl is wonderful. And she gave herself, probably 8 to 10 wonderful birdie opportunities every round, and she made four or five of those putts, and she shoot a 68, a 69, a 67, a 70, be a bad round, something like that, and she could put that ball right up towards the pin, and that's what you have to do. You have to be accurate. When I saw her as accurate as that, I said, this girl can play the game, and obviously she can.
Yes, Stacey Lewis just shot up from a tie for 52nd where she started. She's now tied for fourth. Of course, everybody hasn't finished. She just shot a 64 after a 70, 72, 64. Now, we look at all of the professional tours, and it's just going lower and going lower and going lower. We have a gentleman joining us, and I am happy to have you stay with us if you would like. we have to give you the number again for the rounds at Poipu because it's a new number, 808-853-1563. 853-1563. You can still win the Nike golf balls, okay? 808-853-1563. Gotta put that number down someplace. I know it's hard. 853-1563. If you're the 18th caller, you win two rounds at Poipu Bay Golf Course. A beautiful golf course. Fantastic. We've got Dave Andrews, Pops and Sunshine author. It's now on Kindle. Is it nationwide? Have they released it nationwide?
Well, it is on Kindle. I mean, anybody in the world could buy it off of Kindle as an e-book.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
somebody said on your Facebook page, are they going to release it? And I thought, well, it's on Kindle. If it's on Kindle, it's nationwide. So I needed to ask you.
Oh, yeah, sure. Anybody that goes to the Internet, to Amazon, Kindle, could buy it that way.
There you go. Okay.
More and more people are, of course, yeah.
Okay. Now, Barney Adams. Good morning, Barney.
Hi, Danielle.
Can you join us? Dave, would you like to stay for a minute?
Sure.
Great. Mr. Adams, I am just so thrilled to have you on the show. I always enjoy talking with you. And when we first talked, or second, I don't remember what it was, but you presented the idea, and I made the mistake of calling it play it forward. You know, like pay it forward, play it forward, but it's actually tee it forward. And the whole concept is that, hey, the courses are way too long for us. If Mindy Kim is driving 230 yards regularly, you know, chances are most of us aren't doing that. And the length of the courses are being adjusted to how these professional players are performing, making it very frustrating, right? So how did you came up with this wonderful idea? Tell us about it.
My goal in life, one of my goals in life is to write a mystery. I wrote one book about the golf business. So I thought, well, what the heck? I think I'll write a mystery now because I've read every mystery story in the history of time.
Okay.
And I figured I was going to write one. And it's going about at the rate of, oh, maybe a word every two or three weeks if I really get going. But, you know, I'll put down a duh or an and. And that's it. I'm done. I've got writer's block again. So I was
duh.
Sitting. I finished my duh, and I was sitting in front of the computer. And I didn't know what to do. It was too early to go to bed, so I started thinking about the round of golf I just played and the fact that the guys that I played with, especially and including me, couldn't get to some of the holes in regulation. And I don't know, this whole thing just started to flow. And I did an analysis of how far amateurs hit the ball versus how far golf pros hit the ball and then compared them to the relative lengths of golf courses. And the bottom line, without trying to bore everybody with the details, the bottom line is that if male amateurs, for example, and I could give the same data for females, but male amateurs, for example, want to play the same equivalent length golf course as touring professionals, they need to be at about 6,200 yards. And most people, when I tell them this, they blanch, they look aside, you know, and I can hear them thinking to myself, well, maybe for some other amateurs, from not to me, because I don't need to play 6,200 after all. I'm big and strong, and so on and so forth. But it isn't true. The average male amateur, and I'm not talking about seniors, I'm talking about the average male amateur, and I took data from several amateur tournaments where they collected data, drives the golf ball about 230 yards. The average touring professional drives the ball about 300 yards. That's what we call a 70-yard gap for those of us that are numbers-oriented.
Yes.
We'll throw another 20 yards in for the irons, which is ridiculous because the touring professional can hit a 5-iron 220 yards, and at 220 yards, if it's, say, forced carry over water, we're laying up. So I can argue the distance is infinite, but we'll do 20 yards just to placate egos. So that 70 and 20 is 90 yards. 90 yards times 10 par 4s is 900 yards. add in the threes and the fives using the same formula, and you easily get to 1,400 yards. So that means when the men don't even go to the father's back tees, but they're absolutely going to play from 6,700 or 6,800 yards, it's like the pros playing from 8,200 yards,
It's like the pros playing from 8,200 yards. I want everybody to hear that. I mean, it's so important for you to get what we're putting ourselves through when we try to play a round of golf is crazy, so much so that the pro that you played with, did he say he'd give up, he wouldn't play this?
Well, I did it in a little experiment. I had this young guy that was a nationwide guy, and I said, come on, help me. You know, I'm running an experiment. I didn't quite tell him what it was, but we went out to play, and after I hit my tee shots, I marched him back 90 yards because just to take the advantage away from him. And he lasted about four holes, and he said, this is crazy. Nobody would play golf like this. And I said, well, actually, we do. We do it all the time. And I said, that's the problem. You know, I can go into all of the reasons why, from ego to, courses laid out with five sets of tees, and we're playing the wrong sets, and, you know, on and on and on and on. The reasons are kind of irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, in the last year, well, start off, when I wrote the first story, we have the same number of people playing golf in 2009 that we did in 1990. Now, that's a huge drop when you take into consideration population increases and the demographical changes and so on.
And golf courses being built.
Yeah, 4,700 golf courses were built during that period of time. I mean, these numbers don't work. That equals the problem. In the last year, because my data only went through 2009, they released the 2010 data a couple of months ago, I lost another million. So that means you've got a million less golfers playing in 2010 than you did in 1990. Now, my argument is that for everybody associated with the game, from course owners to anybody that's associated with amateur golf, those have to be disconcerting numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're losing your constituency.
Absolutely.
And one of the other interviews I did, I started it off just for the heck of it, to change it up. I said, how much money would you pay to go to a bad movie? And the guy said, what do you mean? I said, golf's a bad movie for a lot of people. 5.5 hours, you'll lose 5 or 6 golf balls, you don't have any fun. Come on, that's a bad movie.
It is a bad movie. You just said the word fun, which is perfect because for some reason, the USGA and the PGA of America decided that it was time to put fun back into the golf equation. I don't know, maybe they just decided, why is this thing so hard for everybody? Why are we torturing everybody? And speaking of torturing, I'm torturing all the people who want to know who won. We have a winner, and the winner for our two rounds at Poipu Bay Golf Course, and I want you to tee it forward when you go there, and we've got the numbers for you. We're going to have the numbers for you in a minute. Chloe Glass. Chloe, oh, so good to hear your name. Chloe Glass, you are the winner. Poipu Bay Golf Course is gorgeous. Just remember, tee it forward. So you don't have to play it the way they played it during the Grand Slam of Golf. Okay, so the PGA of America and the USGA decided that, golf is really becoming some kind of torture chamber. You put people in a cart and you strap them in with their golf clubs and you send them out and they come back and they're tired, they're hot, they're dehydrated, they're hungry, and they're upset because they just lost a whole bunch of golf balls and they did not have the fun that they were hoping to have in 5 hours. Now, you are bringing fun back into the equation just the same time as these two organizations are.
I tell you what, frankly speaking, fun is part of it, but they look at the numbers. They're the stewards of the game.
Yes.
They have got a lot of, as we say, skin in the game. I don't think the USGA, the current leadership of the USGA and the PGA of America, want to preside over a situation where you're losing 1 million players a year. And they lost 1 million players last year. And basically, what the message is that to, hey, guys, I don't care what kind of initiatives you've started up to get more people playing. It's not working.
It's not working.
Just look at the numbers. It's not working. And why is it not working? Because you're driving people to a bad movie. Fix the movie first. Give them an opportunity to play golf in 4 hours or less, hit a green in regulation, or two or three or whatever, and enjoy the round of golf. That's what the tour does. Why should amateurs play a different game than the tour? For the gentleman that's listening, that's associated with the Futures Tour, and I have some knowledge of the Futures Tour, you think those gals would be out there playing if their course was 7,200 yards long?
Oh, gosh, no.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't
not
think
at
so.
All.
But that's what we play.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the equivalent. Because those girls can hit it farther than most male amateurs.
Exactly.
That sound you hear is egos crashing all over the place, but that happens to be the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, I'm an old club fitter. I've spent years on the range. And for every male that came up to me and said he can hit his tee shot 250 or 260 yards, if I could have bet him, I'd be a very wealthy retiree today. Because most of the 250, 260 guys hit it about 225 or 230. And that's just the
way
it's best.
Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
What would you think the ideal yardage for your typical public course from the white tees, the standard men's tees, what do you think the best yardage would be to set up a course at?
62. And by the way, the yardage isn't sacrosanct because things come into play. Sloping fairways. A 370-yard par 4, for example, where you drive into an upslope, is going to play a heck of a lot longer than a 370-yard par 4 where you're driving into a downslope.
Okay.
So it's not absolute. You have dog legs to take into consideration. You have prevailing winds to take into consideration. You have the speed of the fairways to take into consideration. But I went back and did a study on the, because I'm a Northeasterner originally, on some of the great courses, the Tillinghast, the McKenzies, the Rosses, and so on and so forth. And those great courses were designed at 67, maybe 67 and change. And you say, well, wait a minute. You're just arguing against yourself. And I say, no, I'm not, because those were all pre-irrigation system golf courses.
Ah.
And they didn't play the 6,700. The fairways were not watered in those days.
Again.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, 62, maybe 63, could be 6,061, depending upon the conditions and so on.
Okay, in Tee It Forward, you put together a chart, and if you can hit your drive 100 yards, you should be teeing from 21 to 2,300.
Well, yeah, and I did it for, I didn't do the chart, the PGA did, so I'm not that familiar with the numbers, but I can tell you that when I did the analysis for women golfers, using tour player distance and just using the same methodology, I came up with 4,600 yards as the standard length for a women's golf course. Now, what's interesting about that is that, number one, there are almost no 4,600-yard golf courses for women. Number two, we've heard, when I was active in the golf business, every year we'd get a report and said that there's going to be more women taking up the game and they're, you know, all the demographics point in that direction and so on. And it never happened. Zero never happened.
Well,
it's for every woman that started, one quit.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that.
Well, I mean, the women are smarter than men. They're not going to put off with that garbage all the time. They, you know, they got better things to do with their time.
Yes, and, you know, they've got better things to do with their time, and there are just the feelings that you get when you go to a golf course.
Yep.
You know, but the beauty of, you know, the comments that I read over and over again whenever this is brought up is, it's not going to work because of the ego factor. It's not going to work because of the ego factor. What part of, you can play from any place in the world you want to play, but for the person who's got some sense and sensibility, you can tee it forward. You don't have to tee it from the box that they've planted there. Isn't that your point?
Well, that's it, but it also, we're going a couple steps further with this. Number one, because of the ego factor and the culture, if you want to be a little softer, but ego is the driving factor in the culture, the white tees and the red tees are poison. You drive males up towards the white tees and the red tees, and you can see them start to shrink and shrivel and drawback, so on and so forth.
Right.
There's a lot of baggage with those. I don't have to go up there. Damn it all, I'm a man. I can go back here to the blah blahs or whatever. That's exactly the way it is. So I have as part of when the PGA of America and the USGA got a hold of me and said, we like your story and we want to get involved in it and we want to help promote it. And I said, well, here's one of the things you've got to do. You guys got to come up with a set of markers. I want a new set of markers with the PGA Tour, or I mean the PGA of America and the USGA logo on them. And I want you to present these markers to golf courses who in turn set them up at the appropriate places. Because we can't just talk to people about moving up to the whites or reds and so on, because I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen.
It's true.
There's too much resistance.
Right.
So we got to give them a new set of markers to play from, and that means the pros or the golf committees and whomever is involved has got to look at the golf course and say, well, for example, I can virtually guarantee you every golf course has got a couple holes with the back tees that are perfectly acceptable. You know, maybe 160-yard par 3 or something like that. You don't have to move up on that. But there's a whole lot of other holes where they have to play different tees. So I think to get over this culture thing, this ego thing, we're going to have to see a new set of markers with this logo on it, the Tee It Forward logo. Frankly, if I could get the word forward out of there, I would. And I'll tell you something else, too, because I've actually done a little homework with this. You know, one of the knee-jerk reactions. Well, if I move up there, I'm gonna start shooting low scores, and I, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You'd be surprised. just because you move up, and you've got now the same relative distance as the tour players, you don't hit the ball as solid as they do, or have the distance control or the directional control. I watch guys, and I am one of them, I might add. I watch people miss the green with 8 irons all the time. So you know, come on, it's not like all of a sudden the game's going to get easy. That's silly.
Yes, it is silly. I have to ask this question about the handicap. So let's say I tee it. And mm-hmm. taking the forward out of it. Let's say I mm-hmm. tee it from something realistic.
Upward. Yeah, yeah.
What's going to happen with my handicap?
I don't know. You might have to have some re-ratings. It's conceivable in some players that are especially, you know, very short and very straight that their handicaps could go down a little bit. And I will tell you again, up front, that's one of the hurdles that has to be overcome. Many years ago, when I was active in the equipment business, I was asked the question, with all your advances of equipment and all your technology, why are handicaps not getting any lower?
Uh-huh.
And the answer was, well, that's easier. The players don't want them to. It's called member guest tournaments and so on. That's true.
No, I gotcha. Totally.
And people have a comfort zone with their handicap. And, you know, say, I'm a 12, or I'm a 7, or I'm a 19. I don't care what it is.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're two shots less, but that two shots less, you know, is a psychological barrier for them. It's, I can't play to a 12, I'm a 14.
Right.
This is a very difficult initiative, even though it's correct.
Yeah.
When I say it's correct, even though we need to do something because we're losing golfers, even though I can absolutely, without question, prove that we're playing from the wrong tees, this is going to be a tough sell.
Do you find any reception from the USGA because of the economics of it and trying to keep more players and attract more players? Do you think they are receptive to your ideas?
Oh, they're very receptive to the idea. They've taken up the cudgel. That's now an official USGA and PGA of America program, and I'm kind of their consultant, so to speak. I mean, I told them, I have no future in this. I'm retired. I did this as kind of a, because I like to write, and just, you know, it kind of happened. And, you know, I have 30 years in the golf business, so they said, well, would you kind of be the face of the program for us? But they're the guys that are behind this thing and pushing it. So
I'm
very much in favor of it.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense, because something's got to be done to keep the golfers and attract more, because we all know the numbers are going down.
Yeah, it's going to be handball pretty soon.
Yeah.
Well, you are going to be, speaking of the face, at the PGA of America, USGA, they've invited you to be in the media centers, and you're going to be doing a lot of interviews from the Congressional.
Yeah, under the Open, yeah.
You're going to the Open. Who do you see at the forefront of the pack?
I don't know.
Who's your favorite player right now You have one. Who do
I
you?
Don't.
You don't.
No, I really don't. I don't. I can't honestly, as I'm sitting here thinking and I'm kind of scrolling through players in my mind, I don't have anybody that, you've got a pattern out there, you know, you've got a young player that wins, and then they disappear for like 8 tournaments or something like that, so there's nobody that I see that's makes everybody else nervous. Let's put it that way. There's a tremendous amount of talent. Let's face facts. The game that those guys play. Speaking as a male now, but even the females. I mean, the good gals on the LPGA tour. Males don't like to admit it. Those girls hit it 40 yards past us. They hit the ball so much better than we do. It's a joke.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to relate to these guys. You know, I watched them yesterday in Memphis, and I just happened to, frankly, I was watching the hockey game, but I was clicking to a tape of the between periods, and some kid hit his tee shot, you know, 365. What the hell am I supposed to do? I mean, how can you relate to that?
That's why I'm a fan of the women's game, because it is more relatable to the average male golfer.
Oh, I said years. I used to, you know, I've written about this for years. If a male golfer wants to improve their golf swing, go watch the ladies play. You'll get a great swing in slower motion, and you can see the good moves.
But
don't think they're not powder puff hitters by any stretch of the imagination. Brittany Lincecum is on the Adams Golf staff, and she only hits it about 285 when she hits it solid.
I know she's okay.
285 for me is a dream.
Yeah,
me too.
Downwind on a highway. 285, maybe.
You're such an innovative, sir. An innovator. And it's a pleasure to talk with you. We're almost out of time, but I have one question. You created Tight Lies.
Yes.
And you learned, you taught us, and in the process of teaching, you must have learned a lot as well, a whole new way to market. You just changed the world of golf and turned it upside down, and everyone follows suit. I've been reading things about how the putter is changing, the driver is changing, but what to do about the woods, the fairway woods? How can we make them work better?
Let me tell you a story. This will help maybe explain it a little bit. I hope I don't take too much of your time. Let's suppose your job is to water the yard, and you have the hose stretched out as far as it'll stretch, that you have the water turned up as high as it'll go. If you aim the hose parallel with the yard, and you're trying now to water the flowers at the far end of the yard, and if you aim the hose parallel with the ground, the water will not get to the flowers. And of course, if you aim it straight up, you can water yourself, but somewhere in the middle, you can angle the hose and actually get the water to the flowers.
Been there, done that, got it?
Therein lies the mystery of fairway woods. Because we golfers tend to think that if they have, for example, a 7-wood that they hit wonderfully, that they should rush out. Now I'm damaging our own business when I say this. You know, the Adams people will hate me for this. But they should rush out and buy a 3-wood because they hit their 7-wood so well. Well, the fact of the matter is that with their water pressure, which is their swing speed, their 3-wood might go too parallel to the ground, and it will actually go shorter than the 7-wood.
We have to talk again, Mr. Adams. I'm running out of time. Will you be on the show again, please?
So I was going to say, take the numbers off the bottom. That's the first thing I would do.
Take the numbers off the bottom and take the tee colors.
Golf balls. Let the golf ball talk to you.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show. You are a pleasure to talk to. Dave Andrews, I want Pops and Sunshine to be a movie. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to make it happen.
We'll get there, Danielle. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, and it's on Kindle. You can get it. Got to wrap this show. I've only got a minute to tell you who made it possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai South Shore Gem. Father's Day sale in the pro shop from Sunday to Saturday. 30% off Tommy Bahama Resort Wear, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Greg Norman, Cutter & Buck, and Peter Millar. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal and commercial, kitchen design and fabrication, work and products you can depend
24/7 on Alakai Mechanical. Star protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home, your business. Get the star team on your property. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
A positive message.